Ecclesiastes chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse 7. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking the servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. Verse 8, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. This is a lesson of encouragement and warning tonight. It's a serious sermon for serious-minded people. In Israel, there were many hedges. In Proverbs, they're called landmarks, but they had a twofold reason for being there. First of all, to protect the field, and second of all, to identify a boundary. And the thought here is this: don't remove the hedges. There is an application for us today. First of all, God's people are a hedged people. We are not just in the world without a protection from the world. You understand that Christ said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now I want you to go with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse 15. The Lord is speaking with his disciples. It's called the Olivet Discourse. And it's a wonderful, wonderful piece of literature. And he says this, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He's speaking to his Father, speaking about his disciples. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a hedge placed around us. That's what that is speaking about there. Now go with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Some scholars believe that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. If that is the truth, then the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And ladies and gentlemen, that's speaking about us. Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation. That's speaking of us particularly. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And that word peculiar there is it is a mathematical term, and it basically is talking about that center. You take a circle, and that point right in the middle of the circle is the word peculiar there. We are a peculiar people. We are in the middle of this circle, and nothing happens to us unless it comes across God's desk. We are a protected people. We are a peculiar people. Let me go on and read. that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God's people are a hedged people. Second of all, God's hedges are strong hedges. Let's begin in the home. The home hedge. In Exodus chapter 20, when the Ten Commandments were given, one of them was this: you are to honor your mother and your father, that it may be well with thee, and that thy days on the land that the Lord thy giveth thee. We are a hedged people, beginning with the home. Then let me just make a statement, and even in a crowd this size, this could have happened. Some of you might be here this evening because you had a mother and father that prayed for you. There was a time when you were rebellious and you did things that you look back and your life could have been taken here and here and here. Some of us are here because our mother and father prayed for us. When my father went away to war, he was already in the service when Pearl Harbor was bombed. He immediately, he was on the West Coast. They sent him over to the East Coast, and then he ended up going to North Africa and then into Italy. But he came home, and his two brothers that were in the war also came home. And my dad's testimony was this: I came home because I had a mother and father that prayed for me. Every morning with her three boys in World War II, my grandmother got up and she prayed for her three sons, and they all came home. In a similar way, you might be here tonight simply because as a teenager and driving too fast and too far and all of those kinds of things, you're here because you had a mother and dad that prayed for you. Okay. I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's read the first 9 verses here. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and all his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The first hedge that God puts around us is the hedge of the home. The second is the church hedge. And I understand sometimes the church comes under attack. In fact, one old theologian in days gone by made this statement: church is like Noah's Ark. If it wasn't for the storm on the outside, we couldn't stand the stink on the inside. And so, there's some truth to that, okay? But what I want to deal with is this. I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And look at verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him his life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. There is a sin unto death. Let me tell you what I think that sin unto death is, and it all has to do with the church. God has given the church a certain holiness that everybody that is in the church, that's a member of that local church, this applies to all of us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's begin reading in verse 1. Paul says to this very carnal church, he said, it is reported commonly, that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up. That is, they were saying they knew it was going on in the church. It was commonly reported in the church. And then he says, and you are puffed up. You are saying how broad-minded you are that we will even receive somebody that's doing this kind of sin into the body of the church. Charles Swindoll said about this, and ye are puffed up. He said these people were so open-minded that their brains had fallen out. And let me tell you something that has happened in America. We're so open-minded, our brains have fallen out. Okay. And ye are puffed up, and not a good thing. And have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. That is talking about church discipline. Church discipline always has as an end result restoration of the person that has gone astray. It's never to hurt that person or just to cut them off. It's always for the purpose of restoring them. Verse 3, for I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? It's always for the intent that those people would repent and come back to a place of fellowship in the church. But if they don't, because the church is a holy institution, God says, turn them over to Satan. They're saved for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. Okay? Kind of a tough deal, but God's hedges are strong hedges. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 13 now. Hebrews chapter 13. First of all, verse 7. The Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, their lifestyle, how they behave themselves. Okay? Now look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Here's the deal, folks. It's pretty obvious. I'm going to stand before God someday and give an account for this church. And your name is going to come up. And God is saying here, when your name comes up, it better be under the best of circumstances. Because if it's not, that's unprofitable for you. Okay? Next is the Bible hedge. Right underneath this pulpit is my ordination Bible that was given me when I was ordained by Temple Baptist Church in Odessa. And in that Bible, one of the ordaining ministers wrote in the Bible, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." And ladies and gentlemen, that is biblical. Go with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And look at verse 9 and verse 11. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Now look at verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And then last of all, the conscience hedge. There's a little preacher that you carry with you everywhere you go. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll begin reading in verse 8. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. "And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." We're talking about Elijah here. "And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? What in the world are you doing here? This is not where you ought to be." And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" You need to get busy. Okay? Now my last thought is this: the danger in breaking God's hedges. It's possible to break a hedge and seemingly get by with it, but there's always a payday someday. Always. What happens at the last? And you better take the long look in your life. Go with me, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. What happens at the last with alcohol? Verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Here it is. Because at the last it biteth like a serpent and it stingeth like an adder at the end. You drink that hooch and I guarantee you at the end it's going to be horrible. Proverbs chapter 5 now. What about sexual sin? Proverbs chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. I tell you what, if you had a mother like I did, I guarantee you she preached some very powerful sermons to me when I was a little kid about this very thing. Okay? What about pleasure? Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 12 and 13. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth, that joy, is heaviness. And then last of all, what about greed? Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And look at verse 11. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatches them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. James said that the final end of sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your holy book. Thank you for your word. Thank you that Holy Spirit, that you just speak to our hearts when we read your word, and you make each word so poignant for us, and we think about it, and it makes a difference in our life, and we simply want to be led of thee in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.